This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The long-running feud between Iran and Saudi Arabia recently saw an increase in tensions between the two countries, leading to concerns about how this could affect the stability of the Middle East. Joining us to talk about it is Kenton Keith, who served 32 years in the U.S. Information Agency and Department of State. He also was the U.S. ambassador to Qatar from 1992 until 1995. Ambassador Keith currently serves on the boards of several diplomatic organizations and belongs to the citizen diplomacy group Global Ties U.S. Also joining us is Deborah Schultz, president of Trans Border Solutions and an advisory group member with the World Affairs Council of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. Good afternoon, Ambassador. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Also joining us is Deborah Schultz, president of Trans Border Solutions and an advisory group member with the World Affairs Council of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. You can be part of the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Deborah, good afternoon to you. Thank
good
you for being
Mark.
Here. Start off by explaining why it was important for you to bring Ambassador Keith to Cincinnati to talk on this topic.
I belong to something called the Foreign Policy Leadership Council, and we bring in speakers regularly, people at his level, ambassadors and other people that have a great depth of knowledge about topics in the world. And so this is a critically important topic. And so he will be speaking tonight before the Foreign Policy Group. But also, we work directly with the World Affairs Council. So these two groups program him, foreign policy for the dinner and the speech this evening. And the World Affairs Council, they send him to schools and universities so that he can meet up-and-coming diplomats in the works, young students, and talk about these same issues.
Now, this is a pretty important topic that you're speaking on. We have a long-running feud that's been going on between Saudi Arabia and Iran. How far back does this actually date, Ambassador Keith?
Well, it dates back to the very beginning of Islam in the early years of the religion. What people really should know about this dispute is that it was political and not doctrinal. From the very beginning, it had to do with the succession to Muhammad. One branch of Islam does not accept the first three of the leaders of the community after Muhammad, and they insist that Muhammad intended for the religion to be led by his cousin, and one of the four closest companions. It was a political dispute, but it was in a religious context, and it has lasted from 632 to today.
Now, let's see. It's Shia Islam is Iran. And
that's
then
right.
Sunni Islam is Saudi Arabia, correct?
Well, it's not just Saudi Arabia. Sunni Islam is actually the majority of the Islamic community. Shia, which comes from the Arabic word for partisan, it was the partisans of this Ali, the cousin of Muhammad. And it's a smaller branch of Islam, but very importantly, it is the state religion of Iran.
But you stress that it's important to understand this is a political dispute.
That's right. It's not the doctrinal differences are not important. It is the political differences that have been important over the years.
How much influence does each of these countries have in the Middle East?
Well, they both have a lot of influence because they both have interests that go well beyond their borders. And they both have resources to promote their interests. At the moment, we're witnessing a proxy war in the region. The Saudis and the Iranians are not facing one another in combat the way the Iraqis and Iranians did in the 80s, but each one is supporting factions and other countries that push forward their vision of what the political situation in the countries need to be. For example, in Syria, this is really quite new. The Syrian government are from a religious group called Alawites. Most people associate them with Shias. But in any case, whether they are the Orthodox Shias or not, they are closely allied to Iran. And Iran is supporting the government of Assad in the Syrian civil war. And Iran is providing the means for their militias and volunteers, so-called volunteers, to actually fight in Syria at the side of Assad, and with Hezbollah volunteers as well. So you have a very strong Shia movement, armed Shia movement in Syria as part of the civil war.
And that's what we mean by proxy, this being a proxy conflict.
That's exactly right.
So do these two countries have diplomatic relations with each other at all?
Yes, off and on. Off and on, but they are each of these countries is part of a worldwide Islamic conference. There is no problem in their actually communicating with one another, but the diplomatic relationship waxes and wanes.
Now, what's brought on this latest round of tensions? What incidents have sparked this latest increase in the tensions between the two countries?
Well, many things have happened throughout the region that have sparked specific actions. But overall, I would say that what has exercised the Saudis the most is their perception that Shia Islam is on the march in the region, that Shia Islam is having more and more influence in countries like Iraq, in countries like Syria, in countries like Yemen, and they're watching a sort of crescent of Shia influence surrounding them. And that, I think, is why the Saudis moved into this war in Yemen when the Houthis took over. These are, as far as the Saudis are concerned, this is an existential threat. And although they are not facing off with the Iranians in direct combat, they are definitely fighting the Iranian proxies in Yemen.
Where is Yemen in relation to Saudi Arabia?
Well, Yemen is in the bottom left-hand corner of the peninsula, as you're looking at a map. It has been a troubled neighbor of a troubled and troubling neighbor of Saudi Arabia for many, many years. The Saudis and the Egyptians in the past have tried to dominate Yemen militarily, and they've never really succeeded. And but now, with the Houthis having come to power in Yemen, you have a Shia element there that has provoked the Saudi reaction.
There was a flashpoint late last year. A missile was fired at Riyadh Airport.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and the. The Saudis claim, and with some reasonable justification on their part, that missile had to come from Iran. It came from the Houthis by way of Iran, and the Saudis described it as an act of war, and that really sort of shook up everybody who was looking at the situation, because if did this signal the a decision on the part of the Saudis to actually go to war with Iran? Well, they backed down from that. At the moment, we don't seem to see that happening, but it's very possible. If if missiles start raining down on Riyadh or Jeddah or any other Saudi city, it is quite conceivable that the Saudis would retaliate.
Why didn't it escalate to war this time around?
Well, I think there was there wasn't enough of an impulse on the part of the Saudis to actually go into a war with Iran at this point. I think the Saudis, everybody recalls the 8 years or 9 years of war between Iraq and Iran in the 1980s and how that bled the male population of both countries. And nobody really wants to go into that. But the Saudis want to use their money to buy influence in Islamic countries, and the Iranians want to use their resources to build up interests in these countries. But they don't want to actually go to war with one another.
Now, what effect has the Trump administration's tougher stance on Iran had with the relations between Saudi Arabia and Iran?
Well, it is true that the Trump administration's policies toward the region have shifted the balance in some way. When the president went to Saudi Arabia and he was feted with a big ceremonial sword dance and so on, and it appears that he came back and spoke in much stronger and more positive ways about Saudi Arabia and may have shifted the balance in that direction. But it is, and the truth is that he wanted to decertify, he has wanted to decertify the Iran nuclear deal. What we have is a greater distance between us today and some kind of peaceful resolution of the situation there than we had just a couple of years ago. For what purpose, I am not sure, but and how far we would go in that direction, I am not sure. But the situation is today a lot more troublesome than it was a couple of years ago.
Ambassador, how did each of these countries feel about the United States, the official government position, and then the attitudes of the people in each country toward the U.S.?
Very interesting question. In Iran, where the government is very clearly deeply anti-American and categorize us as the great Satan, we have no friend in the Iranian Ayatollah theocracy. On the other hand, Iranian citizens feel very positively toward the United States. And pro-American sentiment in Iran is surprisingly high. And we've had, when I was with Meridian International Center in Washington, we did a couple of art shows with Iranian artists. And the people that we have had actually go and negotiate with Iranian officials and Iranian museum directors and artists and so on come back all saying the same thing. It is quite amazing the level of pro-American sentiment in Iran. In terms of the attitudes of Saudi Arabians toward the United States, that's even more paradoxical because the Saudi government and the United States have been in cooperation for decades. We have found that the Saudis were moderate voices in the Arab-Israeli crisis, and the Saudis have stood with us in the Gulf War and in other very important things. And the Saudis have sent hundreds of thousands of young Saudis to the United States over the years to study. And they come back with a great knowledge of the United States and the way we live and the way we think. And it is somewhat surprising to note that anti-American sentiment in Saudi Arabia is pretty high. And that is what we found in dealing with Saudi organizations. That's what we found with the Saudis we have tried to work with over the past several generations. And there is, I'm not sure why that is, but it is certainly one phenomenon that most of Americans who worked in that area will agree with.
How should the U.S. be handling this? What role should it play in the relations between Saudi Arabia and Iran?
Well, it's hard to see that we can have a major role in relationship between Saudi Arabia and Iran. I think what we should do is focus on our relationship with each individual country. We have real problems with the Saudis in their support of extremist Islamic schools, and we should actually be much clearer with the Saudis on that issue than we have been. As far as the Iranians are concerned, it's hard for me to imagine that a power as great as it is, with a population that is as restive and sick of its government as it is, and as desirous of moving away from that theocracy that is ruling them, it's impossible for me to think that won't be a major change and lead to a major change in the next few years. And I think that we should focus our attention on a relationship with the Iranian population to the maximum extent possible.
No, it does sound like there's some opportunities here.
There are opportunities, and I think that we should basically make sure we understand and we are savvy about the situation there, and not say that every Iranian is a potential terrorist and can't come to this country. I think we need to be a little wiser in the way that we treat people who are from that region.
Sean joins us now at 513-419-7100. Good afternoon, Sean.
Good afternoon. I'd like to make a comment first. There is an existential threat from Iran to Saudi Arabia, which claims to be the guardian of the holy places, Mecca and Medina. But beyond that, there's also the Saudis always suspected Iran of an ulterior motive involving themselves in the Arab affairs. I have to remind you that Saudi Arabia has two provinces very rich in oils right on the Persian Gulf, and it has a huge Shiite population. And Saudi Arabia is very, very fearful that things might turn to the worst. They've been treating the Shiite nicely lately, and the Iranians also have a horrible presence in Bahrain, which mainly Shiites run by Sunni rulers. So it seems to me that it's beyond the religious aspect. There is a presence of stirring troubles in all these areas, especially the Arab side of the Persian Gulf, that might create a big, huge vacuum.
And Sean, did you have a question as well?
You.
Okay.
Yes. Now, the new leadership in Saudi Arabia seems to be more progressive, and they opening a lot of windows for dealing with both the Iranian problems and stirring problem among the Shiite population of Saudi Arabia, and also finding themselves, what we call it, the soft belly of Saudi Arabia in Yemen. What do you think should United States deal with this problem? Not today or tomorrow, but beyond tomorrow.
Well, I think that the when speaking of the new leadership in Saudi Arabia, I think we should be ready to applaud the social changes that seem to be in the mind of Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, who has clearly the controlling political interest in Saudi Arabia at the moment. I think that it was less than statesmanlike for Saudi Arabia to go into Yemen in the, quite the way that they have, and to, in effect, create a huge humanitarian crisis. I think the jury is still out on the new leadership in Saudi Arabia, with very positive steps in the social arena and very questionable steps in economic decisions. Let's see how things go. But I agree with you that the Saudis have these existential problems. The presence of a large Shia population in Eastern Province is troublesome, but the approach to the Shia population in Eastern Saudi Arabia has not been exemplary as far as how the Shiites in that area have been treated. And they keep saying, the Saudi government keeps saying they're going to do better with regard to the Shiite population, and they really need to do that.
This has been, as you were talking about earlier, this has been such a long-running feud between these two countries. It's come close to the brink of direct war at several points. Is there a peaceful solution to this? Is there a way this can be resolved?
Well, it's hard to see what specific steps right now would resolve the situation, because their strategy is a longer term one. And there isn't on both sides, many people think that we can just outwait the other as long as we keep our hand in and as long as we keep the pot boiling. But I think the United States should form its own policies, should have its own strategy, and should focus, for example, on dealing with Iran as a power that must be dealt with over a period of years, just as Saudi Arabia is a power that must be dealt with over the years. And we must keep the kind of balance in our own strategy and in our own policies that will make it possible for us to work eventually with both.
So with all that's going on in the Middle East, I mean, what's the impact on the stability of the region should something really, really bad happen between these two countries?
Well, the impact, the potential for chaos is certainly there. And if Saudi Arabia and Iran were to go into direct combat, the first thing that would happen would be a major upheaval in petroleum supplies to the rest of the world, particularly to Asia and Europe. That would have an impact in everybody's daily life in this country and elsewhere too.
So diplomacy has a big role here.
Diplomacy has a major role, but we have to use it. Diplomacy has to be employed, and not just the
has big, to be part of the plan.
It has to be part of the plan.
Deborah, who's the next speaker that you have coming in real quickly?
On March 26th, we have Kaiser Sharif. He's going to talk about when U.S. foreign policy goals conflict with conduct of American businesses abroad.
Thank you both for joining me this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Ambassador Kenton Keith and Deborah Schultz, who's president of Transborder Solutions and an advisory group member with the World Affairs Council of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition. The producer was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Josh Elstro was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney.